Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. He is risen indeed. Well, when I kind of entered parenthood, I imagined that things were going to be a certain way. And one thing that I imagined would happen is that I would have all of these really incredibly profound and deep conversations with my children that I would be able to kind of like plan. Like I would take my kids out for our child likely one-on-one, and we'd go to their favorite restaurant and grab a milkshake, and they would probe with me the deep mysteries of the universe, and I would give to them my wisdom, and it would be this incredible sort of experience that would happen. And I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I really did kind of think it would work out that way, that I'd be able to plan these sort of profound conversations. And as you're guessing, it does not happen that way, at least not in our case. Instead, those significant conversations seem to pop up right in the middle of everyday, ordinary life. So we're driving home from soccer practice on Tuesday evening, and death comes up. I don't know how. It just does. Death just suddenly emerges as a conversation piece in the van. And kids start talking and, you know, ideas are bouncing around. There's no real structure to this conversation. It's just throw out whatever you want. And someone makes the comment that everyone dies. And another person pipes up and says, no, not everyone. Jesus didn't die. And someone's like, yeah, whoa. Yeah, he did, but he didn't stay dead. You know, so back and forth we're going. And then one of my kids says, yeah, he didn't stay dead because Jesus is strong. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That is it. Jesus is strong. So strong that death could not hold on to him. Death, the one thing that has mastered every human being that has ever walked on this planet, could not master Jesus. It could not hold on to him because he is strong. Stronger, in fact, than anything. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Guess what? You don't got any because Jesus is strong. And his strength, the cool thing is that it's not just something that played out a couple thousand years ago. His strength is alive now, today. It's active among us. It's available to us now. That same death, that same strength that conquered death is alive in our lives today. And it's for those reasons that we say to each other, Happy Easter, right? Happy Easter. Because Jesus is strong. Jesus is strong. That's not what I'm going to preach about today. That's just a little extra add-on there. Turn to John 20, if you would. How do you not talk about that? You got to say something about Jesus being strong. So John 20, we're going to read the story. Starting in verse 1, we won't read all of the chapter. We'll make it a good way through, though. This, friends, is the resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They've taken away the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who can never be stopped from going in, arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, She stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener, which, little note here, is of course wrong and right. She doesn't know it, but she actually pegged it right out of the gate. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go, find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." So Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. Have you ever played a video game or a game on your computer, game on your phone, anyone, and you've been playing so intently that you kind of get lost in the world that is the game you're playing? Does this ever happen to anyone at all, ever? Maybe. Kids, thank you for your honesty. Happens to me when I play. I don't play games a whole lot, but I know it happens to my kids often when they're playing an electronic device. We can be in the same room. We can be standing next to each other. And I can say things like, "Hey, dinner's ready. Hey, turn that off. It's time to go." And there's nothing. There's nothing that happens. I know they hear me, but it's as if they're lost in this other world. And it's not until I say their name, sometimes with a certain tone of voice, that they kind of wake up and come out of the world that they were in and are present with me. I've been with people not long after they've lost someone. And in those moments, often the person I am with, they're there with me, but they're not. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're in the same space, but they're lost. Things are cloudy and hazy and we're just not quite in the same world. That's what's happening here, I think, for Mary. She is lost in her grief. It's so overwhelming and so consuming that even though she's right there, and so is Jesus, she can't see things for the way that they are. And so what does Jesus do to wake her up? He calls her by name. Calls her by name. That's an incredibly personal thing to do, isn't it? To call someone by their name. Have you ever met anyone? Maybe like here last week, you shook hands and introduced yourselves and you learned someone's name, but by the time you got to the parking lot, you had already forgotten their name, right? Right? Does this happen to anybody else? And then you're standing out here today and you see them coming at you, the same person that you met last week, and eye contact has been made. You know they are coming and you know you don't remember their name, right? And you're like, "Hey, you, how's, you know," right? Anybody been there before, right? Okay, all right. Hence, name tags in part. It's part of the reason why they're there today, okay? Because we all know we need a little bit of help with that, right? Because if you don't know someone's name, then it's pretty safe to say that you don't know them. True? I mean, you can know someone's name and not know them. That also can be true. But generally speaking, think about the people in your life who know you by name. They are people who know you, who you have relationship with, who you have spent time with and have shared experiences with. To know someone's name, generally speaking, is to be known. to know them. Which is why parents, by the way, who know their children perhaps better than anyone else, employ first, middle, and last names when they're trying to get their child's attention, right? Right? Because they know their kids, and so every name comes out as part of being known. Or, do you have a nickname? I bet if you do, first of all, you're probably not going to share it here. And secondly, I bet not many people know it. Couples often have nicknames, Schmoopy Bear and, you know, Honey Bun and other thing like that, right? These are names that, I don't know, I've just heard them. You know, these are names that that people share, and but they only share with someone who really knows. It's a name that signifies relationship in a certain kind of relationship, right? You get what I'm saying here, right? And so Mary is lost in her grief, heartbroken. And everything has become hazy for her. She can't see clearly. And so Jesus, wanting to wake her up, to bring her back, to help her see, calls her by name. And here's one of the things that we celebrate at Easter, that the resurrected Jesus is still calling people by name. Amen? Let me get more specific. The resurrected Jesus is calling you by your name every day. When you wake up in the morning, Jesus is speaking to you, if you are listening, saying, come follow me today. When you are lost in confusion and grief, Jesus is calling you by name, walking alongside of you, telling you that his strength is there. He is with you in your grief. If you are lost, you've headed down the wrong path, Jesus is calling to you by name, beckoning you to come home. Jesus knows us, and he is determined to wake us up. And so he calls to us by name. Now notice what Mary does as soon as she awakens. Did you catch this? Isn't this interesting? Mary, Jesus said. So she turned to him, wakes up, and cries out, Rabboni, which means teacher or master or Lord. You see, one of the things that happens when Jesus calls us by name and we awaken is that we see Jesus for who he really is. Because just a second ago, she thought he was the gardener. And not in the deep, profound sense that I alluded to a moment ago. She really thought he was the guy who hoed and, you know, pruned and did that sort of thing, right? He's standing right there in front of her, and she can't recognize him. How often does that happen for us? Jesus is right there in the midst of the chaos and the confusion, but we don't recognize him. But here's the good news. More good news of Easter is that we don't have to be able to see clearly in order for Jesus to call out to us. We don't have to be like on our best behavior or at our best before Jesus will speak to us. We just have to be willing to listen. Because Jesus' words are enough to set us on the right path. His voice is strong enough to wake us up. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni. It's a beautiful exchange of names, isn't it? Jesus calls to her and she calls back. She sees him for who he really is. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Verse 17, Jesus says, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. What's that about? Probably a whole other sermon. Likely, maybe one kind of way to decipher that is to understand that Jesus is saying that things have changed. She used to be able to cling to him, walk with him, eat with him. Those days are fleeting at best as he prepares to ascend to the Father. So maybe he's just signaling to her that things are going to be different. But then he says this, go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus has talked about the Father. If you've been with us in the series, yes, does this ring a bell? Like, guess what? 107 times in the Gospel of John. 107. Jesus either says, the Father or my Father. But something is different now. The resurrection means the world is no longer the same. And so here Jesus says, because of what I've done, I'm ascending to my Father and what? Your Father. To my God and your God. It's one little word. It's one little pronoun. And yet it changes everything. Because what Jesus is saying is that his death and resurrection have opened a door that previously maybe was locked or a door that maybe didn't even exist. Jesus has opened a door to a new kind of relationship between the Creator and his creation. Jesus is saying that God is like your Father, or as we find in other parts of Scripture, like your mother. God is your parent in the fullest sense of that word. And so at Easter, we celebrate that Jesus calls us by name because he knows us and loves us and wants to wake us up. And we celebrate that we get to call God by a new name, so to speak. We now get to call God our Father. And just as a child has full access to their parent, do they not? We have full access to God. And just as a child brings their true selves to their parent, do they not? Happy, sad, angry, confused, they bring it all to their parent or parents. We too can bring our true selves to God. And just as a child takes incredible delight in just being with their mother or their father, right? And they just love to hang out. We too are meant to take great delight in just being with the one who created us. So with the resurrection, a new door has opened. And if we're willing to go through that door, we'll find a relationship on the other side in which we are known by God and we can know God. So Jesus is strong enough to open up that door and lead us into a new kind of relationship with our Creator. That's Easter. That's what we mean or should mean when we say happy Easter or he is risen today. We're talking about all of that. That Jesus is strong and that God calls us by name out of that strength. And in that strength, God invites us to call him by name. And there's this whole thing happening because of what Jesus has done in his death and resurrection. And so here's what we're going to do to kind of practice or live into this new reality that Easter makes available to us. We're going to share communion in a moment, which may seem like, well, isn't that about Jesus' death? Yeah, it is. Should we do it on Easter? Well, yeah, I think it's actually okay. Because when we share this meal, we do certainly remember the death of Jesus, his brokenness, his bloodshed. But we also remember the future promise that we are going to share a meal with the resurrected Jesus and all of his people. And so it's both and. So it's appropriate, even on Easter, I think, to break the bread and to share the cup. And what we're going to do this morning as we pass these down the aisle, Ben, if you would put the slide up for communion, if you would be so gracious. Thank you, sir. Normally, we pass these to each other and we will say, this is the body of Christ, or this is the blood of Christ shed for you, given for you. There's really no wrong or right way to say it. Those are just some words you could say if you need a little bit of kind of guidance. But notice there's a blank there, and this is where the name tag comes in. We're the body of Christ, yes? Which means that we are Jesus' hands and his feet and his voice. And so this morning we are going to say to one another each other's names as we pass the bread and the cup. Mike, this is the body of Christ given for you. Right? So here's the deal. When you're about ready to receive the bread or the cup, you're going to have to make this available. Okay, because not everyone might know. All right, so make it a prominent spot. Make sure it's on there. If you don't have one yet, get back there and get one. Okay? It's going to be awkward. They're going to have to do the, oh boy, here's the body. So get a name tag. All right. So and then just share it with each other in that really personal way. That's what I think we're trying to remember this morning as we share communion, is that our God is a personal God who knows us by name. Knows us by name. And invites us to call him by name as well. So let me pray a prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving. Oh, one more little note. We have some gluten-free bread. Hey, so if that's helpful to you, we'll just pass these down, one down each side. And if you don't need it, great. And if you do need it, know that gluten-free bread is coming on its way. And maybe if we run out of bread, you know, you in the back can have gluten-free regardless of whether or not you need it. Okay, there you go. It's a little safety measure. Let me pray a prayer of thanksgiving, and then we will share this meal together. Let's pray. God, what we ask for this morning, it's really simple in one sense, and yet it's incredibly profound. We ask that we would hear you call us by name, that we would hear your voice say things like, I love you, you are mine, you're my child, I forgive you, your strength, my strength is for you. God, whatever we may need to hear, would we hear you this morning? In the songs we sing, in the bread and the cup that we share, even in this moment of silence, would we hear your voice? Because you are a God who longs to wake us up. And so if any of us are in need of being awakened today, God, do that too. Wake us up this morning to who you are and to who we are in you. May no one leave this place this morning unsure of the truth that they are your child. Jesus, thank you for being strong, stronger than death, stronger than any problem in our life, stronger than any reason for stress. Thank you for being stronger than it all and for giving your strength to us. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mike, the body of Christ given for you. Lily, the body of Christ given for you. If you pass that down too, thank you. And confidently as you're, I mean, don't whisper it to the person. Let them hear their name, for goodness sake, right? Let them know that God knows them by name. Mike, the blood of Christ shed for you. Brother, Lily, the blood Christ given for you. How are we doing here?